Good evening. Good evening. Good to see you. Isn't it good to be together again? And good to see each one. And as far as announcements, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for bringing us out. Thank you for keeping us safe, watching over us the way that you do. And Father, we thank you for your many, many wonderful blessings of life. And Father, we just ask you to lead, guide, and direct us, help us in everything. And Lord, you would be with us as a church. And God, you'd just anoint and bless. Help us this evening. Help us in our walk of life. Help us, Lord, that we could be an encouragement to folks we're around. And pray, Lord, for our nation and pray for our leaders. And pray, God, that you'd just help us in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's remember service this Sunday. Be much in prayer, and our back to school supplies will be handed out Sunday. Is that correct? All right. So we'll do that. Thank you for everything. We got everything we need, and thank you for everything. I helped carry the boxes in. There's a lot of stuff. So there's been a lot of stuff purchased and a lot of stuff brought in, and I thank the Lord for it, and thank you for it. So we thank each of you. As far as we are, Appalachian Association meeting, as far as I know, is still at Eastside on the 27th, Monday, at 7 o'clock. Will be no meal. Usually there's a meal at 6. There was no meal this time. And our quarterly business meeting will be on the 29th. That's a week from tonight. So that will be next Wednesday. Any other announcements? Amen. Let's go ahead and we'll take our prayer request and any prayer requests that you may have this evening. Remember my brother, he'll be having a surgery, removing a lump from his chest Friday. Remember Daryl and prepare for that surgery. Barry Wingate. Is he in Florida? Anything else? All right. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jay, would you pray over these requests this evening? Anyone have a word of testimony, anything on your heart? It's good, isn't he? Amen. Yeah, he's good. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this evening, Luke 21, I want to feel like the Lord has finished his message up that I started Sunday this evening, and then he's led me a different direction next Sunday. So this coming Sunday. Luke 21, starting at verse 25. Let's read this passage again, if you would. And if you would stand with me, Gary let you say it. I'm going to make you stand up. Starting at verse 25. Who believes that we're living in the last days? If you don't believe that, just turn on the news when you get home. And there shall be signs in the suns and in the moon, in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's why I love cloudy days, don't you? He's coming back on a cloud. And I thank the Lord for that. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold, a fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your blessings. Pray, Lord, you'd bless the reading of your word. Father, you'd touch the old preacher boy. Lord, forgive me of my sins. And Father, I pray that you'd minister to us and here this evening, and we go away encouraged and greater desire to serve you. And Lord, we love you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. May be seated. We started Sunday talking about coping in the last days, and would ask a question, how do we cope in such a time? And the first point that we spent the Sunday morning message in was by being aware of the signs. And we agreed, we talked about some of the signs, and we were in agreement that we feel like the signs are pointing toward that we are living in the last days. And the next two more points this evening, I think I can get through them all right. The second one is not only by being aware of the signs, but by seizing opportunities to witness for Christ. Seizing opportunities. How often do we let opportunities go to where we could be sharing the gospel and telling somebody about the goodness of Christ, about the goodness of God? I'm afraid that we let a lot of opportunities go and we let them slide right through our hands. In verse 28, it said, "And when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Verse 30 says, "And when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves, the summer is now nigh at hand." And then in verse 32, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." You know, God's word endures in troubled times. God's word endures. And when we look and we think about seizing opportunities, we are called to be witnesses. It's not in Matthew 28, it's not the great suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And then I want to read in Acts 1, verse 8 through 11, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye, if you feel like, can be my witnesses." I've caught you off guard. "And ye shall be my witnesses." I don't see anything there that says that we have the choice. If we are followers of Christ and we believe that the end is nigh, ought we not be more diligent in our witness and sharing the gospel? Because folks are going to miss this wonderful thing called heaven, this wonderful place. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So as we see, and we see the signs of his coming is getting closer, that I think that our witnessing should increase. How many people have we told about Jesus this week? And we've got a pretty good excuse that we could say, we're in the middle of a pandemic. It's hard to witness through a face mask. It's hard to witness when you're not supposed to get out much. But we have enough technology that I think that we can share the gospel. We can pick up a telephone. We can encourage someone. We can pray. We can do a lot of things through technology. When we reach out to others, it enables us to cope with what we're going through. And how many would agree with me tonight that we're living in difficult times? I guess I can barely remember Vietnam and a lot of things that happened in that time. And I can think back a little, but it wasn't as real to me as it is now. But other than, I guess, early in my life, I've never recalled anything quite like what we're going through now. And the times of around the whole world, not just the United States, but it's the whole world. I'd have never thought that I'd ever seen where a disease would cripple the whole world. And in such a short time, the things that has happened and wait and see, and it's hard to cope, isn't it? It's hard to stay focused. It's hard to maintain, but I believe that if we keep on keeping on the way that we always have, and I'll talk about devotion in a little bit, but our witnessing, our daily devotions, our coming to church when we can, and being involved in the things of the Lord, and witnessing and sharing the gospel will help us and encourage us through these difficult times. It will push us along and help us. In 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." See, I think we ought to be prepared to tell a world that is very discouraged, that is very confused, that don't know which way to turn, that we ought to be able and ought to more than ever to tell them, be able to tell them the hope that we have and why we have it. It'd be a good time when everybody else is wringing their hands that we could be like Peter was when he was on the ship, on the boat that was going to go down. And they said that they hadn't seen the sun or the stars in many, many days. And they were throwing everything overboard and they said all hope of life was lost. Peter stood up in the midst of them and said, "Be of courage, go ahead and eat, we're going to be all right. Because I got a little bit of word a while ago. There's a man come and stood by me. An angel came and said that if we'll stay on the boat, we're all going to be saved. If you'll stick with me, I'll take you to safe land." Glory, hallelujah. I don't know. I'm sure he told them not to ever shove off to begin with, so they probably had a little faith in what he was telling them. But he told them, give them encouragement in the hard times. And if we are able to tell people the hope that lies within us, that we're able to say, it's going to be all right. Because my Bible tells me that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen? And the Bible tells us that if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? If he's on our side, you can forget it. I mean, we're covered, aren't we? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Those are verses, that things that we can share with people and help them to know that better days are coming if you're a Christian. And if you're not, you better get in pretty quick. See, when, and we've got some emergency workers here, and when you are in the middle of serving, that everything that's going on around you don't bother you that bad. Amen. I'm looking at emergency workers because they've been involved in a lot of that, and it can be horrendous. But when you're busy and you're working and you're involved in what it is that you're doing, that you don't focus, you don't have time to focus on what's going on around. You focus on the task that's ahead and whatever that task is. And I think as we as Christians, we ought to have our minds on the task, and we ought to have our minds focusing ahead and telling people that there is a Jesus, that there is a heaven and there's a hell to shun. And then unless we accept Jesus and commit our lives, that we have no hope of making it to that beautiful place called heaven. Amen. And if we will stay focused on that task, we won't get so nervous and get so involved and get so blindsided that things go around us, because we'd be like Nehemiah on the wall. I'm too busy to come off of the wall right now. The work is too great and the task is too big and I've got to keep working. It may get to the point where we have to be like them when they were building the wall. Nehemiah, they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. And they'd take turns about, and half of them would work while the other half stood guard, and then they'd swap off and the other half stand guard while that half worked. Now that is being devoted and committed to the task that's ahead. Amen? Are we that committed? I'm afraid if we had to fight, we'd go to the house. Come on. I didn't sign up for this. And when we are devoted to the service of the Lord, it will keep our minds off of a lot of things that bogs us down. See, this verse said that when we see these things come to pass, look up. And I think we need to keep looking up. We need to keep looking up. You know, it's hard to look up when we've got our head down in our hands, isn't it? Instead of thinking about what's going on around us, I remember C.H. Charlton, he was a pastor over in John City, and I used to listen to him on 790. And he always had a saying, and he said it, I think every time I ever heard him, he said it. That he said that we need the thoroughbred mentality. He always said, a thoroughbred will not look around in the race, that he's always looking forward and he's keeping his eyes on the finish line. And that as Christians, I think we need the thoroughbred mentality, where we keep our eyes on the prize. We keep our head straight ahead. Keep our hands to the plow and our eyes to the sky. Because he's coming back to get the ones that's looking for him. So I'm convinced time is nigh. And the last point is not only by being aware of the signs or by seizing opportunities, but by being diligent in our devotion life. In verse 33, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Bible also said that his word is forever settled in heaven. It is not going anywhere. If there's one thing in this world that we can be sure of, this is going to last on and on and on. Wow. And there's another thing we can be sure of, that the Bible also says that it will not return void. It will accomplish that he has for it to accomplish. God's word sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting to the dividing of sunder, but even to the mark. And that a two-edged sword, what's that mean? It cuts coming and going. Just dabble with it a little bit. It'll cut going in, it'll cut coming out. Amen. But it is the words of life. See, it endures through the troubles. And it's harder these days, but we've got to be diligent in our private worship. You know, as much time as we've had at home, we've had extra time. We ought to have done more private worship at home, but there's always 10 things to do, aren't there? See, the Bible builds our faith. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want our faith increased, then I think that We ought to read it more. If we lack faith, the Bible says, let anybody lack faith, lack wisdom, ask for it. But if we lack faith, read the Word of God, and that we will gain faith. This is why one of the reasons that I have encouraged us, and I pushed, and of course we're out of church and we fell behind, but it'd be a good time to pick back up. We have copies. All I can do is run them off. I know some has continued to read through, but read through the Bible in a year. It's all right to start in July or August and read through till next June. It don't have to start in January. And I encourage you to read the Word, read through, and read from start to finish. And it will encourage us and help us and build our faith in these times. And another thing that it does, that in Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible, God's word, and our devotional life will keep us from sinning. If we have trouble sinning, then pick up our devotion life. And when the things that we're dealing with and the things that we're falling short in, I guarantee you that you won't spend long in here and you won't spend long on your knees till God will bring it to your mind. You ever, and I know it's happened to me, and have done something that I should not have done, and maybe not even aware that I did it or said something, or and when really start praying hard, start reading and studying, and get down and get to praying, and when you get to started praying good, the Holy Spirit will say, "Woo! You remember what you said?" Yeah, I remember. You got to take care of that. Oh, I ask for forgiveness, and then I correct the problem. And see, that is when, and if we don't have our time of devotion alone with God, we miss those times. We just go right over it, and we don't have anything, and then the preacher gets all the blame. But the preacher gets a blame for scuffing your shoes. But I tell you, aren't you glad? The things that I'm most dogmatic about, I didn't learn from a man. It's been my time alone with God in the Word. And God revealed and opened my knowledge, opened my mind, and give me wisdom about things. Now that's what I'm dogmatic about. Not what man has told me, but what the Lord has told me. Aren't you glad of that? If the same Spirit dwells in us that moved upon men to write this word, if he moved on men and told them what to write, he sure knows the meaning of it. If we'll ask him, Lord, with the Spirit that moved upon these men to write these words down, I ask that same Spirit to reveal to me exactly, and I can interpret this and rightly divide the word of truth. We have so many different beliefs and religions today that it's, some of them's had to come about without much prayer. Amen? Because if we will get the wisdom from the Lord, he will help us to rightly. The Bible said to study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of God. That we are not ashamed, that we know what the Bible says and we can understand it and tell folks what it means and what God means to it. We must read the Bible and pray daily. Now I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, But it's important that we read and we pray and we keep and just today, just a while ago, that someone shared with me that they were seeking the will of the Lord, and they've prayed and asked the Lord to forgive them, and they encourage them. I said, now, the advice that I give, and Rhonda, I think, probably heard me on the telephone. I said, read your Bible every day and pray every day and get in church and be there every time the door's open. I'm not saying that'll take you to heaven, but it'll sure help you. It'll sure keep you focused. It'll keep you digging into the Word of God. It'll keep you in communion with God. And it'll keep you into with people that will encourage you and help you through the battles of life. Aren't you thankful for a church family?
Amen.
I'm so thankful that when we have problems and difficulties and troubles, that we can pick up the telephone and in just a matter of minutes, and it's scattered through the whole church.
Yep.
And the whole church is praying. Boy, that's good. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful for that. And it's important that we're diligent to public worship. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much more. I want you to see these last five or six words here. As ye see the day approaching. What have we been talking about? The day approaching, haven't we? That day. The Bible talks about that day. And that day approaching. And his word here says, as much, so much more as we can see that day approaching, as we can see prophecy fulfilled, as we can see the word of God being lived out, and as we can see that we're looking for, because Jesus could come anytime, and even then, more than before, that we need to be together, encouraging one another, praying together, learning God's word together, allowing the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us and challenge us and encourage us and comfort us and help us. Amen? See, we need other believers. We need each other. I'm thankful that we're in a church where we do encourage one another and help one another, and I'm so thankful for that. A strong devotional life will bring peace in a storm. I know storms that Rhonda and I have went through, and there was one particular time that we was going through a tough, tough time. I don't know if she ever shared with me what the verse was, but Rhonda found her a verse. And she clinged to that verse, and she read it every day. And in her prayer, she prayed, and she clung to that verse, and it helped us through the hard times. It was her anchor, her rock, that she went to and clung to. And have we got those in our lives? Have we got those verses and those passages of scriptures that when we not far from 2 years, won't be long to 2 years, we got some news that just devastated me. And immediately I started quoting some scripture that David had quoted. Lord, you're my high tower. You're my stronghold. You're my refuge. My ever-present help in time of need. And I need you. This is too big for me. And the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit helped me, guided me, got me through that, because I was trusting in the Word of God, what He had told us. Amen. It'll get you through. It'll get you through to the other side. And in closing, what signs are evident of his return? Can we pinpoint and look at things and say, boy, that's a sign. That's a sign. And what are we doing about witnessing? Are we holding up? And how consistent are we in our devotion life? I tell you, these three things will help us to cope in the end times. If I understand the Bible correctly, the times are going to get worse and worse and worse, except for the elect's sake. What was it said? Unless those days are short, no man could even make it. But for the elect's sake, the days are short. How do we know if we're elected? It's how we respond to the gospel. We've been called. Nervous response is how we know that if we are the elect. If you ask Jesus into your heart, forgive you of your sins, you're the elect of God. And if you didn't, you can't claim that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many, many wonderful blessings of life. And Father, I thank you that we've got your word to encourage us. And Father, we've got the signs around that we can see that we know that the end is coming close. Lord, that we're so thankful that he that overcometh, the same shall be saved. And Lord, help us to able to overcome and endure until the end. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for a devotion life. And I pray, God, that you would help each of us, that we would be completely devoted to our time with you. And that we would pray and seek you. And Lord, that we would stay in the word. Help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge and be what you want. Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray for everyone that's here, the ones unable to be here. I pray for the ones that may be watching tonight on a tablet or smartphone on a device. Lord, did I pray that you'd encourage every heart, that we would seek you. Lord, that we would witness. We'd keep our devotions life going, and we'd keep her looking up. Lord, we love you tonight and praise you. And thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.